All right. Hey, praise God. All right. Let's go ahead and it's Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're looking at verse 4. This has been a theme verse for us. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved." Praise the name of the Lord. Verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And then verse 10, we've been going on verse 10 as well. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you, God, that it builds us up, encourages us, and helps us to become more like you, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Praise God for awesome, dedicated youth leaders and our youth. Yes. Believe with us that we would continue to grow as a church and have more youth. And more children, and more families. We are believing God to double this church by the end of the year.
Yes.
So that means all of us have a part to play. There are fill this house. There's a fill this house bucket in the back. If you're praying for somebody to come, inviting them to come, there are invite cards in the back. We want you to be a part of what God's doing here. So if you're online and you're anywhere near the Mount Kisco area, we'd love to have you physically here on a regular basis. Praise the name of the Lord. All right, so we've been talking in this series about a fresh look at the book of Ephesians. A fresh look at the book of Ephesians. We've been using a specific four-part lens as we read this. It's the acronym of GROW. G-R-O-W, right? Which has to do with God's part, right? Our response and responsibility to whatever God has done for us. Whatever obstacles by faith that we need to overcome. And what does our witness look like when we have done these things? So this is the four-part lens, so to speak. I'm calling it a lens that we're looking at the book of Ephesians with. So we left off last week with Ephesians chapter 4. So we're just going to touch on the first part of chapter 5 for time's sake today. So the first part of Ephesians chapter 5, this is a fresh look at the book of Ephesians. We're using these lenses of looking at it and asking ourselves the question when we read a verse, is that God? Did he do something for me that I need to be aware of? What is my response to what God has done, right? And then what's my responsibility with what he's done? And then what kind of obstacles might I be faced in order to respond, in order to do the work that God may be asking me to do? And what will the result of my witness to the world be? So does everybody follow? All right. So we're there in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And this is such an awesome, chapter. It is one, as I've told you, this entire book is one of my absolute favorite books in the entire New Testament. And the reason is because it's so practical. Now, for prayer time this morning, I brought out one of my old Bibles from, actually it goes all the way back over 30 years ago when I was in college, and also early parts of my ministry. It's dog-eared. It has all kinds of notes written on it. It's the tiny print when you have college eyes. You know what I mean by that, right? It's the tiny print, right? It's really tiny. And even my writing was really tiny on the margins and things like that. But what was such a blessing to me is that I go back again and again and again to the book of Ephesians. Colossians, Philippians, Those are the prison epistles that Paul wrote while he was in prison being persecuted. And they are some of the most practical books on how to live the gospel out. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John actually give us the gospel, and then the New Testament tells us how to live it out, the epistles, how to live it out. So in verse 1 of chapter 5, I love what this particular verse says. It says that we are to be imitators of God. And, you know, imitation is, you know, sometimes people look at imitation and say, well, that's just an imitation. But when we look at this, he's actually telling us to be like God, to be like God. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, and here we go. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself for us as an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So now using our lenses, we can see that there pretty obviously here, there is a response and a responsibility. But whenever you see the word, and in the New King James, it says, therefore. Whenever you see the word, therefore, you need to look to see what it's there for. Okay? So whenever you see the word, therefore, in the scripture, you need to go back and figure out what was that pointing back to. And we went through chapter 4, and we went through how, again, how to live this Christian life. And as I was preparing today, the word that is used in the Greek language about being an imitator of God is the word mimic. It's where we get the word mimic. When you mimic somebody, what are you doing? You are actually imitating somebody. And the Apostle Paul here is saying, because of all these things that God has done for us and our responsibilities, therefore, you need to be like God. Forgive, walk in love, walk in his goodness, so that you become a sweet-smelling aroma. Right? You become somebody who walks in the God kind of love. The God kind of love. When we walk in love, and if you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, for time's sake, we're not going there, okay? But I encourage you that you can go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and see how love is supposed to behave itself. Mm. And if you remember some of those things, what? It's kind.
Yes.
It's kind, right? So if we're going to be like God, how many know that it's the kindness of God, Romans chapter 2, that caused us to repent?
Amen.
It was the goodness of God. Yes, the kindness, the goodness of God that drew us to him. Yeah. If you look at Jesus' life, people were drawn to him because he was good.
Yes.
They were drawn to him because he provided help. He provided kindness. Yes. He provided absolute love. And so God's calling us to be a mimicker, if you will, one who mimics, one who actually emulates, the word emulating, his behavior. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what does it say? It says love is patient.
Yes.
How patient are you? I'm just going to ask the question. You don't have to answer, okay? Because all of us have moments of impatience. Okay, we can be impatient with people, and it's easy to talk about them out there, but what about being impatient with people that you love, your family, friends, your co-workers, other church members, right? Patience, right? Patience. It's showing that kind of patience, right? Love's patient. Love's kind. It's kind, right? It doesn't keep a record of wrongs. You know, years ago, I came up with this phrase, and recently, I haven't read the book, so I can't vouch for it, but I believe there's a new Christian book out that's called Unoffendable. Unoffendable. You know, when we get to the point when we walk in love and we choose not to be offended, we choose not to. That's a choice you make. Why? Because God's calling us to a higher level of walking with Him. Now, as I was looking at the entire book of Ephesians, and I've been listening to it when I've had to work, or reading it over and over and over again, and I've read this book hundreds of times since I've been a Christian. Hundreds of times. And when I look at the first two chapters, I say, man, that's a lot of what God did. And then I start seeing chapter 3, 4, 5, and I'm going, ooh, that's my response and my responsibility, right? That's my response and my responsibility. And He sets the bar really high.
Yes.
He does. He sets the bar of what we as Christians should be like. He does. That's because God sets that bar really high. Because of what Jesus did, He paid a high price.
Yeah.
So that we could do it. So that we would be to the praise of His glory. That we would be those who shine forth, as the book of Philippians says, shine forth as like stars in the universe. There is something about our character, but God doesn't ask you to do something that's impossible. It is possible. And so God is asking us to actually step up to that spot. You can do it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can do it.
You can do it.
Say, you can be an imitator of God because of His love. All right? Remember, when you see therefore, you look to see what it's there for. And if He tells you, therefore, be an imitator of God, when you read the first four chapters, now you know how you can do it. There is a way. Don't get discouraged. Don't beat yourself up. Go, oh, I can do it. What is that? That's an obstacle to overcome our flesh so that we can win the world with our witness. Amen? So let's pray. Father, thank You for Your goodness today. Thank You, Lord, that as You said in Your word in Revelation, that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Father, as we heard testimonies today from this congregation and from our young people, I thank You, Father God, that the spirit of prophecy has been evident in our midst today. And Father, as Your word is encouraging us to be imitators of You, help us, Father God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to be that light in this world so that we can see others come to You and to know that love, and to know that power that transforms our lives. So we thank You for it. In the name of Jesus, we thank You, Lord, for this word encouraging us today to be an imitator of You, and You give us the help to do it. And so, Father, I thank You for that. Now, right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, or if you're watching online and you have never asked the Lord Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you a moment to do so. I want to give you a moment, if you've been away from God, to recommit your life to Him. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to pray a simple prayer. And if you'll repeat that prayer and mean it in your heart, God will meet you right where you're at. And He will save you. He will transform you and help you to a better way of living. And so right now, we're going to go ahead and pray that prayer. Is there anybody who would like to raise your hand in this place with every head bowed, every eye closed, anybody at all? Thank you. And if you're recommitting your life to Jesus, you can keep that hand up just real quickly, and then you can put it down. And now let's pray all together. Say, Father God.
Father God.
I come before You.
I come before You.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I believe in my heart,
that Jesus
is the Son of God.
That
He died for my sins.
That
He was raised from the dead.
That He was raised from the dead.
For me.
For me.
And right now.
And right now.
I receive His forgiveness.
I receive His forgiveness.
And I call Jesus, my Lord and Savior.
My Lord and Savior.
From this day on.
From this day on.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we want to know about it. Let us know. We've got some things to give you and help you in your walk with God. If you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, we are a Spirit-filled church. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to do beyond what we can do ourselves through the gifts of the Spirit and through the power of the Spirit to live this Christian life. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, I encourage you, just ask and He will fill you. But I'll be available here after service to pray for any individual needs that you might have. And thank you so much for watching. Thank you for coming. Next week, make sure you try to bring a friend, invite a friend. If you're watching online, get them to come online with you and watch. And let's see God do great things through this church. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Let's stand to our feet as we have our sending out verse right now. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's say it all together. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. We'll see you next time. And there is ukulele practice right after.